Blog Talk Radio.
You just tuned in to Blog Talk Radio, and this is Talk to Me, hosted by the one and the only, the most fantabulous, loveliest, wealthiest, and most jubilant sister in the world. That's right. My name is Minister Cherie Humphrey, and I am the founder and president of Diamonds in the Rough, Finding the Spirit in Me, and the producer of A Star is Born Talent Events and Talk to Me Media. Our motto is Standing Firm on the Promises of God. I want to thank you so much for tuning back in. We are now in November, about to end this year. And so I thought it was only relevant to ask this question: what do I need to complete? I need to get this thing done before the end of the year. What is it that you need to finish up on and do by the end of this year? Something that you made a goal to do and you maybe procrastinated or neglected or forgot. So we're going to be closing out, you know, this year, 2022, in a month, you know, in a month, little over a month. So, I mean, it's something to think about, you know, because we all have stuff that is on the agenda and we might not get it all done in the way we like to get it done, or in a timely fashion. So think about that question, you know, to yourself. What is it that you need to do? What is it that you got to finish before this year is out? Well, I have two men that are coming on tonight who are extremely funny. Two very handsome men, and they are going to be talking to us and sharing what it is that they need to get done and talking a little bit about themselves and what it is that they do and how they got started, you know, the whole thing. But, you know, I need to get into some things before we, you know, hear from these guests. And for people who don't know this show and it's your first time listening, Diamonds in the Rough Talk to Me Radio has been going on for 12 years, over 400 guests, over 200 episodes, over 10,000 listeners reaching the U.S., Canada, Germany, Indonesia, Cameroon, Philippines, India, Ireland, Sweden, South Korea, Malaysia, Japan, and the Dominican Republic. And so I will be reading those names of people who have graced this show, well, some of them, and I will be telling people, you know, just who's been on this show and I've been blessed to have on. I do want to get into some other things as far as announcements are concerned. donations you find it in your heart that you'd like to give to this show, to Diamonds in the Rough, you could do so. The information is up on the show page. You can support also by booking your radio interview or booking your article on my column, which is on my website, that is also listed on the show page. If you have a business that you want to promote, if you're doing something wonderful and you want everybody to know about it, contact me. And also, if you want to buy art, you want to buy books, you can go to my website, and you can go to the page where it says art. If you find something that you like, I'll work with you if you're unable to afford the whole entire expense for that art piece. And we could set something up. If you'd like to buy some books, a lot of them are children's books, you can go to the website where it says books, and you can read over some of the descriptions and contact me. Also, I want to give out birthday shout-outs. You know I got to do that. Also, if you want to book me out for comedy, if you want to book me out for running Into the Light workshop for survivors of abuse, or the DITR curriculum that I have created, I can definitely set that up with you, your business, your organization, or whatever it is that you might want me at. I want to give a shout out to Tyrone Dunmore, aka Terrible T. We celebrated his birthday at the BK. It was just the bomb. Jackson, whatever the case may be, Jackson. He's a comedian, as most people know, and he hosted it, and he did a wonderful job. All the comedians that were up there that night were just hilarious. Marlon Randolph, who was on my show just a couple of weeks ago, Carrie Ann, I think one name was Randy, the other one, I'm not sure, I forgot his name, but Dennis was on, and it was just, it was a ball. I had so much fun. Also, one of the guests that's coming on today, it is going to be his birthday, Joe Show. He just had a birthday recently, so I'm added him to the list. Elder Jeanette Gant, Yolanda Chapman Smith, Akeisha, Casimir, Josephine Villa, Barbara Berry, J. Trini Goring, Jackson, also Caroline, my niece, Caroline Daniels, TJ, my nephew, Songbird. Her real name is Natalia, Tyrone Campbell, Pastor Dawn Snell, Robin Clark, Avis Barnwell, Carolyn Vermont, Aruna Crutchlow, Michael Jones, Minister Antonio Rock, Keisha Casey, Lisa Foster Wilson, who I had did a column on, Kent Barrett, Carissa Dow Rouse, Samuel Watson, Shakoya O'Banner, Sheena Bailey, Chisa Joy, and Shakoya O'Banner. So, and anybody else that had a birthday and I didn't call your name, happy birthday to you. I do want to send condolences out to the family of the Migos. I don't really listen to their music. That's not my, taste. But my heart goes out. I know that one of them died, I believe it was on Halloween. So condolences go out to them. Also, Cisco here in Bridgeport lost one of his sons, and I forgot to mention it last month. My heart goes out to him and his family, and I want to send condolences to them as well. He lost his son, and it was tragic. I know both of his sons were shot, it's just so sad. They were very young. So in any case, I want to get into the scriptures, and we're talking about completing and finishing a thing. So let me hurry up and do that, because I see that my first caller has called in, and he is waiting on the line. James 1:1-4 says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, that means to disperse, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So I'm not saying that this is an easy thing to do, because no one wants to go through trials and tribulations, but it's clear here produces and how that can build character, and it says that we will be lacking in nothing. So I guess I won't be lacking in nothing, because I've had so many trials and tribulations that is just insurmountable, the amount that I have gone through by the grace of God, and has definitely worked my patience. It has definitely made me a stronger person. I hope to believe that I am a little wiser than I was in the past. So we're going to move on. Psalms 138:8. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. John 6:40 says, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on that last day. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there that disregard, you know, this, and, you know, the Lord, don't believe, atheists or whoever it might be. But everybody going to have to answer, whether you believe or not. You can worship a duck and you still going to have to answer. It doesn't make a difference, because the world didn't get here by itself. Someone created it. And it wasn't Mother Earth. It wasn't the energy and vibes that came together. It was none of that. So it's not a fantasy. It's better to believe than not believe. When I was in college, I know my professor, Dr. Storhoff, did a little demonstration for people who were logical like me, even though I had grown up in the church all my life. But he showed me this. I was in my maybe mid-20s, and I had a lot of questions. And he put this up there, this chart. And when he finished with that chart, it was like, okay, it's better to believe than not believe, because it makes more sense. And what does it hurt? Really? I mean, is that duck going to save you? Are those animals and trees you worshiping going to save you in the end? I don't think so. So I'm not going to stay on that, because I will go off on a tangent. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I love that scripture. Yo, I had that in one of my poems years ago. But in any case, I do want to move on. I'm going to play a little music, and then I'm going to come back, and I am going to introduce my first guest and interview him. Let's see. Play a little bit of Just Us by Frankie Beverly and Mays. there you have it. That was Just Us, Frankie Beverly and Maze. I am going to plug my first caller in right now. Hello.
How you doing, girl?
Hey, what's up? How you doing, everyone? This is Davey Lozano, comedian extraordinaire. How you doing today?
I'm good. You know, I'm sitting on the couch looking at my Christmas tree because I'm Puerto Rican and we start early, you know.
Okay. Already, Davey.
You ain't got your tree up? It's after Halloween, girl. That's when you're supposed to put it up.
Okay. I actually don't do trees. I mean, but I think they're, you know, people decorate them beautifully. I used to do it back in my early 20s and stuff. But, yeah, I get it.
Well, my tree is fake, so yes. Don't worry. I ain't go all out.
Okay, your tree fake. All right, I understand that because sometimes those needles and all that stuff be drying up and you got to keep cleaning it up. It ain't easy.
I got time for that. I just put it up, let it stay for 2 months, and then put it back in the bag and throw it in the basement. That's it. Real simple.
Right. Yeah, real simple. Exactly. And I met you, Davey, a couple times at the Metric for Jackson's comedy show. And hopefully, you know, it will be starting back up again. And, you know, I look forward to it every week. And I saw you perform twice. And the first time you came out with a bulletproof vest on and these huge, ridiculous boots. I'm like, what in the world has he got on? But explain that, you know, to people why you be wearing that crazy outfit.
Well, all right. So a lot of people may know, some people may not. I may lose some viewers with this, but I've always been a big Kanye fan, regardless of all the controversy he has that's going on. And if you've noticed him in the media, he's always wearing them boots. You don't see him in nothing else but them big old boots. So I was just like,
really?
Yo, this is funny. Like, I got the boots, and I said, I'm going to wear them on stage just because I think it looks cool. And then, I don't know, I just feel like I could stomp with the big dogs. If I'm walking in Bridgeport, like, I need to make sure I could. If I get attacked, I need to make sure I got something on. So, so I was like, if I got a bulletproof vest, too, this all go together. But it made you remember it, though, right?
Right. I surely did remember it. And you left an impression, definitely. I love your comedy. I come near to just, you know, bother y'all, you know, because I just love
you,
it when
you bother me quite a few times. You like to speak out of turn. Now I'm glad now it's your show. I could cut you off now. How you going to do it now? I'm going to cut you off every time you talk.
Yes, it's all in fun. I really enjoyed you. You know, when we down at the Metric, it's like a family, you know, and, you know, everybody just, you know, loves on each other. And, you know, we basically know each other, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, feeling like you come in, you know, somebody's living room and just having some friends over and they telling jokes and stuff up on the stage.
Yeah, because that's about how many people be up in there, too. That's why. We got 9 people tonight. Like, oh, it's going crazy.
But God willing, it will be more packed. It will get better because, really, Jackson brings quality. He brings y'all in, and y'all are some heavy hitters, for real.
Mm.
You know, because I've had a lot of you on the show, you know, so, you know, over the past couple of months. And I just am pleased every week, and it was very disappointing to have that stop. But back to you, I want to get into the topic real quick and just get that out the way.
Sure.
What do you need? Okay. What do you need to complete before the end of the year?
I mean, to be honest with you, being a comedian, one of the main things is you got to be active on social media. That's just something that, you know, sometimes there's a lot of people who are great on social media, but they can't do stand-up comedy. You know, you got a lot of, and I have no hate towards anybody because everybody has a particular field that they're strong in. There's these people that go viral and they do these funny videos, but then when they do stand-up, they can't correlate that onto stage. And same thing, sometimes comedians, we're great on stage, but we don't know how to carry that online presence. So I've been kind of pressing myself to find my own little wave on social media. So I've just been doing more videos that I used to do, like little silly videos. If you see any of the stuff that pops up on the feed sometimes. So I make it a point now, like every Sunday, I try to drop a new video every Sunday. And I used to do something last year, and tonight's actually the first night I'm doing it again, where I do a Facebook Live every Monday. And I always do different topics, whether it's about relationships or tonight's topic that I'm doing later on. It's at 8 o'clock. It's what's an immediate sign of a red flag for you, pretty much in regards to like a relationship. So I go live and I just, you know, I usually have a whole bunch of people that jump on, and I just, it's just a way to promote myself as a comedian, because what happens is other people jump on and then they add me. And then when I do a show, they go, oh, I've been following you since your Facebook Live. Now I'm going to come see you.
Yes, and that is a good way. Yes, and that's a good topic, too. It's definitely a topic that everyone should ask themselves anyway. So, I get it, far as, like, with the social media and what you actually do, because I learned a lot of different things by default, but technology goes so fast and so quickly, you have to continually keep learning. It's just not my thing. I really don't like it. And, you know, like my friends know, I used to say, I'm never going on Facebook. I'm never going on Twitter. I'm on all of them. I'm never going on IG, because it's inevitable. It's like, if you're promoting anything that you do, you have to get with the times. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I get it. Yep. Yep.
So
when did you start?
A couple of times too. So,
oh, you have?
Free sometimes. Yeah, that be happening all the time. I'm like, I'm locked up for 30 days, y'all. I'll see y'all on Instagram.
Oh,
like,
my
I gotta leave.
Goodness. Yeah, I hate that. Oh, my God. That's happened to me like twice in the past maybe 10 years.
You know what's crazy
is
a lot of times they'll put you in Facebook jail, like if you're saying inappropriate language or whatever the case is, and I get that. My last jail sentence was for something so stupid. It was, I don't know if you see sometimes it's like National Coffee Day or National Meatball Day, whatever it is. There's always like a stupid day that's coming around.
Right.
And one day it was National Dog Day. So I said, oh, it's National Dog Day. I don't have a dog. So I made a status and said, shout out to all the unfaithful men. Happy National Dog Day. And they said that was hate speech.
What?
Because I was saying, they said, because I said, unfaithful men, happy National Dog Day. Now, obviously, it's a joke. They said it was hate speech. They took it down and said I was unable to post for 30 days. I couldn't go live for 60 days. They said all my posts going forward are going to be moved to the bottom of the feed. I said, damn, if I was going to go to jail, I would have said something back.
Dang, that's a lot.
Society is tough now. They're trying to cancel people for anything now.
Really? Because I remember I made a comment on somebody's video because the boy was unruly and very out of control. And, you know, I just was like, you know, he need his ass whooped. Period. I mean, what he had done, I mean, there's just no doubt about it. Where I come from, it wouldn't have even been a question or a thought. But they didn't put me in jail. They warned me.
Oh, yeah.
And I was
too.
Like, yeah, I got warned. So I was like, really? So you can't even speak out? It's not like you know, it said kill him or anything like that. I mean, but I get it. It's crazy. You know, the stuff that need to be censored up on there ain't censored.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't want to open my news feed and see somebody jiggling they stink behind butt naked. I mean, really? I would delete a nigga for real.
I don't mind that. You know, I ain't gonna
of course you don't.
That, you know what I mean? Yeah, you know, I like everybody to express themselves how they want to express. Who am I to say that, you know?
Okay. But when I'm scrolling, I do not want to see that. I'll be like, look for your profile, delete. I don't want to see that crap. But, you know, everybody different, you know what I'm saying? But, Davey, tell us about your background. Like, how did you get into this comedy?
So it's funny. I've been doing comedy now for 8 years, and how I actually got started, since it's crazy that I'm actually already speaking on it, is Facebook. I used to just make funny Facebook statuses all the time. That was just something I did. Anytime something funny would come to my mind, because I used to work at the bank for, you know, years, like six, 7 years. So sometimes when I was sitting at the bank, I would just sit there on my phone when it was quiet, and I would just make up funny statuses. And it was just – it wasn't me like, oh, I'm trying to be a Facebook comedian. I'd just be like, I think this is funny. And I would say it, and then Facebook was a lot more popular back then. So I was getting, you know, hundreds of likes just on stuff that I was just typing out, like a couple sentences. So one day somebody said, yo, you should do stand-up comedy. And I was just like, oh, like, I don't know. Like, you know, when somebody says that to you, you just go, oh, yeah, I guess. And then they tagged another comedian and said, yo, add this guy, like, you know, see if you can hook him up. So the guy said, hey, man, I got a show that's local in New Haven. I got a – it's already got a lineup on it. But if you want, bring some people, and I'll give you, like, 5-10 minutes on the show. So I, like, you know – saying something funny is one thing. To sit there and say, okay, what can I talk about for 5 to 10 minutes by myself is like a whole nother style of comedy. Like,
yes,
I had to learn. I had to learn. Like, I ain't just going to go up there and be like, what did the chicken cross the road? Like, I was like, okay, there's a process to this. So my first show, I was up there for like, he gave me 10 minutes. I was up there for 15. And when I got off, every comedian that was on that show, which is crazy, I still talk to this day, all said, yo, this was your first time ever on stage? I said, yeah. And they were just like, yo. And then after that, they were like, we bringing you to Joker's Wild. That was when Joker's Wild was still open in New Haven. And ever since then, it just was a spiral of, okay, here's this comic, here's this comic. And then I met Jackson at Joker's Wild, and that's how that relationship happened.
Wow, isn't that something? So,
yeah, so
you were in finance first. You were in finance.
Yeah, so I was in banking for, you know, 6-7 years, jumped around a couple jobs, and because of, you know, when COVID came, things got a little tighter, but even to this day, I do still work a regular job just because I can still do my comedy at nighttime and on the weekends, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I still work regular
because,
you know, we got bills. Metric ain't paying,
absolutely,
as you see, with 10 people there, you ain't gonna be paying my mortgage, you know?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, but sometimes, you know, I was faithful regardless, because when I like something, I support it, and I try to get other people to support it as well. And, you know, and so my thing is that, you know, I knew some of the people that were already there. DJ Juan Kuhn, you know, we go way back. So I was coming there before it started again, you know, and everything picked up, and it was, you know, really flowing real good. But, you know, I guess everything has its peaks and valleys, and sometimes you need to tweak things or whatever, but you got, you know, a lot of different people's brains involved. And, you know, sometimes everyone is not always, say, pleasant or cooperative. And I'm not talking about Jackson, and I ain't talking about Juan. So let's move on from there.
But you about to go to jail.
Okay.
Don't be speaking your mind like that.
Okay, exactly. You know? But so how did you come up with such different versatile content to do on stage?
Well, one thing before I even was doing comedy, I worked at a restaurant for like 10 years. And I don't know if you're familiar with, it used to be called Sage, now Shell and Bones, used to be called Char House back in the day. It's all New Haven, like by Sound School, if you're familiar with that restaurant.
Okay,
that
so that's where you from? You from New Haven?
I grew up in West Haven, graduated in West Haven, like in high school, and then I lived in New Haven for like 10 years after that. So I've always been parceled to that West Haven, New Haven area. So that's why I had a job in a restaurant out there. And, you know, the restaurant, I think anybody who works in the restaurant industry, it just kind of teaches you to be on your feet and to be quick, you know what I mean, in general.
Okay.
And when you work at a restaurant, as you know, if you've ever even been any type of place like that, like the amount of people that go in and out of a restaurant, meaning the workers, is crazy. So there's so many different personalities. So I would impersonate the coworkers. I'd be like, yo, why Joe be talking like this? Why Al be cooking and talk like this? And why? And I would do all their voices. So I had this capability of, like, doing voices just throughout my life. I would just play around. I would do cartoons, like, just being fun. So when I started doing comedy, I didn't even do a lot of that. And then one day I did, like, a Cat Williams impression, and somebody was like, yo, you could do that? And I was like, yeah. So I just, like, oh, let me figure out how to – incorporate this on stage, because I didn't want to go on stage and just say, yo, this is Cat Williams. Like, I was like, I got to write a joke to it to actually make it
right.
funny. So
right.
I started doing impressions, and the problem was a lot of comedians, and I don't want to say a lot of comedians, but there's certain comedians, and I won't even name people because it don't even matter, but there were certain people that would say, oh, he's not a real comedian. He does impressions. And that would get me mad because I'd be like, yo, first of all, I don't only do impressions. So it pushed me to do impressions and jokes and look. And so that
right.
way when I leave, you don't go, oh, all he did was impressions. So I was just like, if I have the capability to do impressions and I could be funny, I'm not going to not do impressions because you may not like it. You know what I mean? If the crowd is laughing,
exactly.
laughing. So that's why
yeah,
I tried to make sure
Red
that I'm a mixture
Fox
of both.
Yeah, and even Red Fox did impressions. I mean, a lot of great comedians. Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
I mean,
of course. But
so many people.
But sometimes when you're coming up in a game like this, you would think comedy, not to get deep into it, comedy is like a little bit of a dark industry sometimes, meaning that not everybody is really supportful around you. Everybody looks at a lot of other people as competition. And I'm like, yo, it don't have to be like that. Like, the one good thing about
right.
comedy is this ain't rap. This ain't any type of style genre where you got to be like, yo, you got to sound like this. You got to talk like this. You got to dress like this. Like, to fit a certain genre, like, you don't have to do that in comedy. The best thing to me about a comedy show, like, if I go see, let's just say, a hip-hop show or something, you might want to have artists that make sense. You know what I mean? You're not going to have, you know, Janet Jackson and then be like, oh, and Kanye's there. You're going to be like, this don't make sense. You know what I mean? But, like, comedy, I
right.
don't want to see people that make sense. I want to see a diverse lineup. I want to see a white guy, a black woman, a Chinese man, like, everybody has their own flavor, and that's the best thing about comedy.
Yes.
You should be as different as possible. So, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think that's my favorite part about comedy. There's no rules. You can do whatever you want to do.
And that we've seen that. We, you know, the precedence was already laid out. Russell Simmons, Def Comedy Jam, that was like the greatest comedy show to me of all time because he had
Absolutely.
Everyone that was someone – everyone that was not someone, that was being someone, it was just completely diverse. And, I mean, no one can recreate what he did, you know.
Absolutely
so,
not.
Yeah.
Martin is actually
my
favorite comedian ever. A lot of people, like, have different comedians. I don't say he's the best because there's a lot of people who consider the best, but Martin is one of the people who made me want to do stand-up.
Okay. Got you. And I agree.
Always
Martin was
favorite.
One of my favorite, too. Yeah.
You couldn't
yes,
touch him
no
in the
doubt.
90s. He was untouchable in the 90s.
Yes, he was. And David Chappelle, too. I mean, there's so many comedians, you know,
mm-hmm.
That I grew up seeing all my life, you know, Sanford and Son, George Jefferson, you know, all of those different shows, you know, Good Times, and, you know, it shows that were geared towards us, people of color, because at that time there was very, very few. And yes. those are classics now, you know what I'm saying? So just keep being you, and I'm going to end with that. Is there
mm-hmm.
anything else you want to say? You got something real quick, real funny for us? Or
you ain't paying, so calm it down. I appreciate you having me on. Whoever's listening, I appreciate you guys for tuning in. If you already don't,
yes.
if you guys are either if you're on Instagram or Facebook, if you guys either follow me, Instagram, I'm the only Davey. Facebook is Davey Lozano, Lozano. So thank you guys. I appreciate you. And thank you for having me on the show.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And we'll stay in touch, you know. And if you want to let people know, do you have an event coming up soon or no?
I do have some shows, nothing offhand that I can, like, ramble off the top of my head that I want to throw. But if anybody ain't got nothing going on tonight at 8 o'clock, if you want to tune into my Facebook, I'll be going live on Facebook. So if you're free.
Okay. All right. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Of course.
Okay. Bye-bye. There you have it. That was Davey Lozano. I see that my second caller has already called in. I'm going to go to a very quick music break. And let's see. I'm going to play a little bit of Must Be Nice by Life Jennings.
What's your number? Where are you from?
268-192, Toledo, Ohio.
Yeah. Nice guitar. What are you going to do now that you're out?
I'm going to do the Apollo in New York.
You'll be back.
Hey, yo, you that just flipped on this CD player, I just want to inform you that you got somebody good, you hold on to them.
You could give this place 10 years of your life. I don't want to ever see you here again. And don't you even look back.
Understand, life you live
must be nice.
Have someone who's slow to take and quick to give
must be nice.
Have someone who sticks around when the rough times get thick.
Someone who's smart and bright enough to make
projects feel like a machine.
Have
someone who loves you despite your faults.
Must be nice.
Having someone who talks the talk but also walks the walk.
Must be nice.
Having someone who understands that a fuck has feelings too. Someone who loves you for sure. You just remember to never let them go.
Even when your husband lays on
me, my queen,
she'll be by your side still.
Gotta stop it right there. You have tuned in to Talk to Me Radio. I am Cherie Humphrey, your host. And I just want to quickly just give a couple more announcements. If you like to support this show monetarily, you can do so. My Cash App and PayPal information is up on the show page. The interviews are $40 for a 15-minute interview, $50 for your MP3s or your commercials. If you want to be featured far as in my column on my website, you can reach out to me. If you'd like to be booked on the show, you can reach out to me. If you want to book me for comedy, D-I-T-R, I don't know why I'm messing that up today. DITR, which stands for Diamonds in the Rough, curriculum that I created, you can do so as well. I have a master's in education and worked with kids for over 35 years. Running into the light workshops, if you want to book that out for me giving workshops for survivors of abuse with your company, with whomever, your church, whatever, you can call me up. And I do a lot of other things. So check out the arts page, check out the books page. And if you want to give, and you know, you can do that as well. Thank you so much. And I am going to read my next caller's bio. Joe Show, comedian Jodell Joe Show Lewis has been doing his unique style of hilarious comedy for 12 years. Joe Show's versatile comedy blends stories of dating in New York City with tales of being raised in a Caribbean household, all while dealing with anxiety and awkwardness. Joe Show has performed all over the country at noted comedy clubs such as the Improv Comedy Club, Comedy Union, Laugh House, The Jokers Comedy Club, Stand Up New York, and The Apollo. Joe Show has been featured as an actor on network series NYPD Blue City and as an actor in the award-winning independent short film Behavior. Jodell has carved out a name for himself in the social media world as an influencer and content creator with a following of 27,000. For 8 years straight, Joe Show has produced his own weekly comedy night in New York City. He's originally from Grenada, but calls Brooklyn his home. His moniker was given to him by teens he mentioned at the group home he worked at before becoming a full-time comedian. As an ode to his Caribbean background and spicy personality, Joe Show started Jerk Comedy Entertainment to capitalize on his blossoming career. And so I'm going to plug this man in right now.
All lies. All
Hello?
Lies. All lies. All lies.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Yes, I'm doing well.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good tonight after talking to you guys. And, you know, I met you once again at the Metric Jackson's comedy show. And, you know, you struck, you know, a chord with me with your comedy on stage. And you're such a nice person. You really are. Not just on the stage, off the stage, you know, I like how you carry yourself, and, you know, I believe that you really going to go further than what you already have. I just want to get into some of these questions that I was thinking about as I was reading your bio earlier. Because you were saying you come from a Caribbean household and you were dealing with anxiety and awkwardness. Tell us a little bit about that. Can you expound?
Well, I came to this island I came to America when I was 5 from the island of Grenada. My parents came up here first and left me my brothers and sister with my grandparents in Grenada. Then I came to America. We were raised in Brooklyn. And it's difficult when you have like a Caribbean upbringing and then you get exposed to, you know, America and how America is, because one, it's way more opportunities and way more freedom and, you know, it's just a different culture. So to adjust to the culture was very difficult. I was teased because of my heavy accent. And, you know, yeah, we grew up strict and religious. And I guess that's what led to my awkwardness and my, you know, shyness. I used a lot of comedy to get over those things. I used, you know, making people laugh and, you know, those sort of things to get over being bullied and get over, like, being different. Because, you know, when we were kids, we wanted to fit in, you know?
Right. Absolutely. Yes, we do. And it's crazy because I've been to Grenada. I remember like it was yesterday.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I bought a bunch of spices, like cinnamon and all different types of things.
Yeah, they call it the spice aisle.
Yes. Absolutely. And I was walking off, you know, like trying to explore. My cousin was terrified, and I was like, come on. And she was like, we could get kidnapped. I mean, I can never forget it.
Beautiful. Beautiful island. Last time I've been there was like, you know, the early 2000s. And, you know, I really remember fondly the beaches, the great weather. Every morning it rained, you know, the smell that comes off the grass when it rains. You look outside, everything's just green. You see green everywhere. So you know, it's such a beautiful place.
It is beautiful. It really is. And, you know, someone asked to marry me on the spot. So that was a little bit frightening. Yes.
Yeah, that's how to get
was
the
trying
card.
To beg me to stay. Exactly. Trying to beg me to stay in the island with him. I'm like,
wow.
No. But, you know, you have played at some major.
Uncle, so.
Huh?
That might have been my uncle.
Maybe
island.
It was. Oh my goodness. But you know, I love the islands, you know. Can't wait to get back there. But you have played at a lot of major comedy venues. And you've also appeared doing acting. What was that like, you know, being a comedian and then playing in NYPD Blue?
Okay, so playing these major clubs such as Stand Up New York, the Improv, you know, New York City is like the melting pot of everything. So I was lucky mm-hmm. enough to have come up in comedy during the age when, you know, we still have the Improv Comedy Club in New York City, and Wendy Williams had the Wendy Williams Experience. She used to do a comedy night at the Improv in 42nd Street. You know, yeah, that's
okay.
when the Laugh Factory, actually the Laugh Factory, that's when it was in 42nd Street before it moved out of New York.
Oh, okay.
But the beautiful part to all of that was, I didn't start off playing black clubs, black comedy nights. I actually started off doing a lot of the white clubs and the mainstream clubs. So, yeah, so I would bark at the doors and I would, work as, the help doorman at the comedy club just to get stage time as a young comic. I had to do what I do to get the stage time, and then I met some comedians. I met black comedians. I met Yamanika Saunders and Omar Thompson, and they were like, hey man, you know, there's another comedy scene, where in the outer boroughs, where you don't have to do all this to get stage time, you can get paid. And that began me on my journey outside of mainstream comedy clubs. As much as I enjoyed going to the mainstream comedy clubs and seeing all these heroes like the Chris Rocks and all these people, I actually got to be around people who look like me and who act like me. And that was a blessing,
And that makes a difference. It sure does.
Yeah, it does, man. When you see people that look like you, man, come on. So I took all of that, and I always wanted to do acting. I had an opportunity to act in there was a series called NYPD Blue, and I got to act in it as I had a small role. I got killed. I got killed.
Okay.
I played a drug dealer, and they killed off my character. But in the meanwhile, while I was doing that, I got the experience behind the camera. I was nervous as hell. I didn't have much lines, but I made my appearance in a few scenes and a few episodes, but then my character got killed off. But it was super, super dope, super really great experience. And
and that's a major show. I mean, it used to be, before Law and Order, came about, and so it's that transition. Because I've done both, but I've not played at these major places, only the Apollo, but that was not for acting and it wasn't for comedy. It was for spoken word. So, I know that, it takes a lot of grind. It takes a lot of grind. It takes a lot of determination to continue, whether the experience is good or bad. So tell me, what gives you that drive?
Man, growing up poor. Growing up poor.
Right.
I had a dream. I used to – what gave me the drive is growing up poor, waking up in the morning and living at my grandmother's house in Flatbush, and her taking me early in the morning on Flatbush and Church Avenue to pick cans out of the garbage, to collect money, to get the 5 cent deposit, 5 cents – to trade in those cans and those bottles. And I would wake up every morning to do that. And I would say, man, I didn't mind because I loved my grandmother so much. And I always would say, man, I'm going to make enough money one day to do something nice for her. She passed away since then, but I kept that thought in my mind of, growing up poor and wanting more out of life. And just to see that she could wake up early that morning in her old age and do all that stuff, I said, man, I can wake up and I can try to do more. 10 times is what she tried to do. So that's my driving force.
Mm-hmm.
The things that my family did.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's awesome. That's awesome. And, like they say, it doesn't matter where you come from, but actually it does, because whatever was built in you, whatever was being deposited, sometimes the bad could even work for the good.
Yep.
And so whatever is deposited in you during those times, and you your dream, it gives you that push, and that gives you that determination and perseverance to either overcome or to either, you know, achieve or all of it, you know. So it's a blessing, you know, and to have 27,000 followers, you know, being a content creator is crazy.
Man,
that's an accomplishment.
Spoke, it was 27,000. Now it's actually 32.
Wow.
Like 32,000. Yeah.
Isn't that something?
One of my videos,
wow.
Yeah, one of my videos just recently went viral. I shot a video and it did like 1.9 million, and that shot my numbers way up. So I'm growing.
Yeah. I can imagine. I can imagine. And you said that you produce your own weekly comedy night. Is that still going on, and where is it?
Let me tell you. Okay. So 2012, a friend of mine, Franz Cassius, this super dope comedian, he's since moved to L.A. from New York. He gave me an opportunity. He said, hey, there's this little club, excuse me, there's this little lounge in Queens. They want me to do a comedy night, but I'm moving out of town. I can't do it. So I said, you know what? All right, I'll do it. I'll go have a meeting. So I met with the owners of this lounge. It was a place called Island Taste and in Rosedale, Queens. And they gave me an opportunity, you know, as a young guy, to host this show. So I had a Monday night at 10 o'clock. The time said 10, but the show would literally start like 12 a.m. And when I say we built this show from the bottom up, we turned a Monday night show into like a Friday night. This place was packed, like about 150 people coming out every Monday night to see me host this show. And I would bring all the dopest comedians from around the city and comedians who were from out of town. And they would come in to perform at this show. And when I say we had gold, we had a great comedy night. And it continued on for about 8 years. And the pandemic came, 2020. March, I'm going to forget it. Let me tell you, we did so well that they were able to buy another building in the area. And, a bigger building and expand, and they kept me on board. And they, you know, they had a great, great run. And it was a wonderful night. And it catered to a Caribbean crowd, you know what I'm saying? So it was very hard to get comedians in the city. Yeah, man, it was hard to get these comedians in the city to come out and to perform, because, you know, from Manhattan to Queens is some distance, and comedians don't usually drive or want to take the train all the way out to Queens. So it was a big deal for me to – sometimes I have to spend my own money to get them to come out or Uber them or whatever. But it was a big deal. I enjoyed that show thoroughly.
Wow, isn't that something? But that's also –
not to cut you off, but let me tell
another...
you some of the let me tell you some of the we had Leslie Jones. We've had
I know her. Yep.
Yeah. We had what's my man name? I'm gonna tell you his name, because his name is I'm drawing back. But everyone from Smokey to JP Justice to Capone to Rob Stapleton to Rip Michaels to TK Kirkland. You know, you name it, we've had.
Oh yeah, I met him. Yep.
Yeah, Jackson.
Capone been on my show. Yep.
Come out. Marshall Brandon come out. You know, you name it. We've had them come out, man. And you know, we were certainly happy to Spanky Hayes. We had all these guys come out to perform, and they were kind of surprised. My audience was surprised. And the comedians that came out, they would always be surprised. But man, like, people really on a Monday night are this energetic and this hype for a comedy show, like, amazing.
Well, you know, people need to laugh, and that's never going to end. Even though the pandemic might have stopped the show from going further, you have that in your pocket now. That is a success. That was a milestone for you. And I'm sure you learned a lot of things by doing this. So all God can do is take you to the next.
Yeah.
And just bring you to the next level. That's it. Mm. That's it.
Yep.
You were training, and you were successful while you were being trained. You know, you were doing it. So
yep.
I got to look at it as sometimes when a door is closing, a better one, or I wouldn't say a better one, another door is opening. And all that what we do.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Since then, I had more doors open up. So since that show finished, I started, digging more into my social media, and I was able to land the role of a star role in a film called Behavior. Now, Behavior is about mental illness and bullying, and literally it's coming off as a short film that we did, and then they sent it out to a couple of film, what do you call it, the short film festivals. So there was a couple of film festivals
mm-hmm.
that sent out to in Toronto and all over Canada and the United States, and it won a couple of awards, and then we got some funding to shoot. Yes, to shoot a film, full film, and it was amazing.
Yes.
So look out for that.
That is something that's needed. Yeah.
Yes.
The Behavior, what is it called again now?
It's called Behavior, and like I said, so we've got budgeting to make it a full feature film from a short.
Okay.
And now we just wrapped shooting the full feature, and it's going to come out. It'll probably be on Netflix and Amazon Prime, but an amazing, amazing opportunity.
Yeah, and we need that in America, basically anywhere. You know, when you talk about bullying, people don't understand the seriousness of how the bullying can go further. And if it's not stopped, you know, you're damaging, someone is being damaged, no matter how old they are, because it happens all through school. And sometimes it happens on the workplace. Sometimes it happens in church. Bullying is not something that is just for little kids. You know, some people have a bullying spirit, period.
Yes, yes.
And,
I don't necessarily think that is that bad, per se, because, you know, old school, they said it built character. They said it built character, but now the bullying is a little bit different. These people are coming and shooting up schools, you know.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's totally different.
Sure is. It's completely different. I mean, I remember being on, you know, being bullied for so long, you know, and these are not just by kids my age. These were older kids, you know, so I would have to go get my older cousins to handle it. But in the beginning, I had to handle it myself. I got, you know, that was my training ground to fight, you know.
Right.
So, and then I had to deal with it so much, I became that bully.
Nice. Well, no,
you know,
nice.
And, I remember this white girl coming and approaching me one time. It was for a cancer marathon. I didn't even recognize her no more, but she approached me and she told me who she was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, my God. Like, I couldn't stand this girl in school because she would never leave me alone. I would beat her up all the time, you know. And she let me have it. You know, she told me how she felt, and that's when I knew the seriousness, because at that time I felt bad for how I reacted to her when I was a kid. You know, but like you said, people getting shot up in these schools and stuff like that. Look at what just happened in North Carolina.
Yes.
You know,
absolutely.
It's serious.
Mm-hmm.
But And you worked with teens. You worked at a group home before.
Yeah,
so
I was.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Full. You understand? I went through it.
So, yeah, I
let
do.
Me tell you, from a young age, I worked with kids. And I started off working at after-school programs, and I prayed for – I worked with privileged kids. I worked with kids who had money on the Upper West Side at an after-school program.
Okay.
And I knew I had a gift to reach the youth. I was only about, 17, 18 myself. But I had prayed that I could move on from these rich kids, and I could work with more troubled kids and kids who really need my energy, because I did art and my personality was great. Like, it was just really infectious, and I had this power, this gift, you know, later on I became a comedic host and all this other stuff, but I had a gift to draw people in and to just entertain people. And I would use that for kids. And I prayed to be able to reach older kids and kids who were going through trouble. And literally it fell in my lap to go work in the Bronx with these teens in a group home. You know, they say, give it what you ask for, because I got it.
Absolutely.
Boy, did I see everything working at this group home, man. Everything. So I literally seen, you know, we worked with kids who were just coming in and out of the system, juvenile delinquents, kids who got lost
in the
system.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Where was this at? Don't give me the name of the place.
I can give it to you.
Because I worked there, too.
Really? It was in the
Doing Diamonds in the Rough.
Yeah,
they hired me out to work with these teens that just got out of jail. So I'm thinking, maybe is this the same place?
Well, we worked with a lot of kids from Spofford's, and then a lot of the kids were, the facility was called the Jewish Board of Family and Children's Services. And we were a residential treatment facility. Like, so basically once the kids were doing better, they would go to a group home setting where they would learn daily skills and living skills. And it was a learning experience for me as well, too, because I went from rich, well-off kids to these kids who were ready to spit in your face, ready to steal from you.
Right.
Ready, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
I've seen it all. And I know you, since working with Diamond and Rupp, you've seen it all, too.
Oh, yeah, and I worked with kids for over 35 years. I mean, all ages.
So, you know what I'm
talking about. Yeah, and then I got hired out by this lady who met me at a workshop that I was invited to do a demonstration of Diamonds in the Rough, and she liked what I had to say, and she hired me to come out there to the, I think it was the Bronx. I'm not sure where anymore because it was a long time ago. And I would go once a week working with these older kids that had just came out of jail. I mean, it's not easy when you're dealing with kids who have so many issues at that age.
Yes.
They're so young, you know.
Absolutely.
But they know when you have a heart and you're serious and you mean well, they know. They can pick up on that.
Yeah.
They can pick up on that,
passionate.
And, you know, they listen.
I was very passionate about it. Mm-hmm. They listen.
Yeah.
But one thing I know, this job was, it was not rewarding because it felt like, at the time I didn't feel like it was rewarding because I felt like I couldn't get through these kids because, like, these kids were on medication, so they were big. Like, this medication made these kids big, and I don't know what it was, Ripadol and all these other medication that he put these kids on, which I was totally against. But it made them really big, and all the staff was, like, over 6 foot. I'm only 5'11", so the staff was, like, 6'8", 6'6". Like, you know, to work in this group, you got to be big in stature, you got to be big because these kids is ready to throw down. So I was the smallest of them, so I had to use I had to use my intelligence and my smarts and my humor.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids ended up loving me, man. You know, we had such great relationships. I mentored these kids. And the funny story is I worked with one kid for a long time, a kid named George. I won't say his last name, but I worked with him very closely, and he was always getting in trouble. And I always tell him, like, do the right thing. You won't end up like this. You won't end up like that. And later on in life, I got in trouble. I ended up going to jail. And while being in jail, who did I run into? George. And
he was like,
Mr. Lewis, what you doing here? And I said, see, I told you to do the right thing.
Oh, my goodness.
I was like, I passed that trade. It's time to get chow.
But see, that gave you a deeper understanding of what it's like.
Yeah.
Being on the inside and some of the things that these kids had already dealt with long before they even met you. And, you know, I had a taste of both worlds, so I knew what it was like to be locked up more than once, you know.
Yeah.
And then I also had, you know, the credentials to work with these kids, but it was love. Once they knew that I cared and that they could trust me, then they began to change their behavior. It wasn't because they tested me now. Don't get me wrong. I'm only 5'1".
So you understand. You know what I'm saying? You got to boss up on them.
For real, I ain't trying to fight. Look, hey, yo, somebody better come handle that because I ain't got time. I'm not restraining nobody up in this.
Oh, you remember the restraints? When they get out of hand and they get too crazy, they taught us how to do the restraints.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
man.
My goodness.
I do miss that job, but that was tough. That was woof.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I got my name from. I got my name because while working there, I started doing stand-up, and I would leave early because I would work the overnight shift or I would work my shift, and I would get off at 10, but a lot of the comedy shows, they would be in the city, and they would start like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. So I would have to leave early. So the kids would see me leaving early, and they would be like, where you going? I'm like, I got to go do a show. They're like, man, you got to go do a show. You're going to leave us? You're always doing shows. You're always doing shows. The next day would see me. They'd say, how we go, Joe Show? Mr. Show? Joe Show? And that's how the name came. So they would all call me Joe Show, Joe Show. So that,
Oh, my God.
Right. So, yeah, I know it's
sense of humor.
Yes, they do. Yeah,
and that's actually a very unique name because who's going to say, call themselves Show? I mean, I like
people
it.
People thought it was a gimmick or something like that. I had went to L.A. I had moved to L.A. like right after I got out of jail. I went to jail on gun charge. And I was like, I'm tired of New York. I'm leaving. This is crazy. And I went to L.A., right? When I went to L.A., they didn't know my history or who I was. And I'm Joe Show. So I went to this comedy club to perform. It was a black night. It was in a lounge in Hollywood. And the host, Buddy Lewis, he's calling me to the stage. And he's like, he's reading the paper. He's like, next comedian is Joe. He's like, man, these new comedians, man, they got these whack-ass names. Joe Show. I'm going to meet the next comedian named Joe TV. he was I hated him. I hated him for that right there. Because I was like, you don't even know where I got my name from. But he bragged on me. And your comedy, you can't be sensitive. You got to just take the punch
right.
And go with it.
Yeah,
had Rob Staples.
Oh, yeah.
When I first started comedy and I went to the Laugh Lounge to perform, I had Rob Stapleton call me half a comedian. Right as he introduced me, he's like, this next comedian is a half of a comedian. So it taught me to have tough skin, and it taught me how to roll with these punches and, you know, never to be sensitive.
Right, because when you're doing comedy, you got to have some tough skin. I understand that completely. You know, I started doing a grandmother act like back in 2001. And, you're going to always have people that put you down, that critique you, that don't like what you're doing out of jealousy because they ain't doing it or whatever the case may be. But they won't get their behind up on that stage and do it. So I just, you know, I've had to learn to have tough skin because I took everything to heart, you know, back then.
Wow.
I had to learn to have tough skin. I had to learn to not care about everybody's opinions. Of course you want to be liked. That's what you up there doing it for. So you can, you know, make people laugh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but do you have any shows coming up on the agenda or anything that you want to share?
Yeah.
Okay.
I now do a weekly show every Wednesday at a spot called Cove Restaurant. It's upscale. It's in Rosedale, Queens, another show in Queens. And I have a once a month that I do in Los Angeles. So at a spot called, Santa Fe Lofts at the end of the month, every month in L.A. You'll find my pages. The page that I have is my business page, Jerk Comedy. This is where I put all my nights, where I'm going to be performing at. And then, like I said, I have this movie dropping. It just wrapped, so I'm pretty sure it'll be out by 2023. You guys are going to get to see me performing this.
Congrats. Uh-huh.
Yes. And then the places to perform. This weekend, we're going to be doing the Wild and Out casting. We're going to looking for a Wild and Out girl at at a club. You'll see that up on my page as well tomorrow. My page is I Am Joe Show also on Instagram. So it's I Am Joe Show. You'll see all my shows and bookings right there.
Yes.
I'm working.
Yes. And if you look, Joe, if you ever need a grandma act or a ghetto girl, you better call me.
You know I will, right?
All right, now.
I ain't gonna lie. This started off kind of slow, but now you got such a warm personality that you got me wanting to
do another hour
on the phone with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. You know, you taking the time out, and I know everybody got stuff going on in their lives or whatever, but this is just something that, you know, is close to my heart, and I like, you know, having conversation with new people and getting to know what it is that you do to be successful. And I think everybody needs to hear that. You know, it kind of inspires people and encourages them.
Yes, you have that energy that encourages, because when we met in Connecticut, I was like, man, you got, like, you are supportive, you are bright, you are a bright ray of light. Thank you so much for being you. I appreciate you. You need your flowers.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. God bless. But it was a pleasure having you on. How can they get in touch with you? Like their Instagram, the Instagram or the Facebook or?
Yeah, so my social media and my Facebook is all the same. It's I Am Joe Show. It's IAMJOESHOW. That's on Instagram. And my Facebook is Joe Show Lewis, JOESHOWLEWIS. So that's where you can reach me.
Okay.
Yeah, I got all the stuff. All my information for my shows, you can reach me right on that page right there to find out my information.
Okay. Okay, wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you so
much.
God bless. Have a good night.
Salute.
All right. There you have it. That was Joe's show. Go back and listen if you missed both the interviews with Davey Lozano and Joe's show. Two wonderful guys, very genuine and kind-hearted and funny as I don't know what. I'm going to go to a very quick break, and I'm come back do a very quick altar call and read the names of people who have blessed this show. All right. Let's see, which one do I want to play? All right. I'm going to play Better Than Good to Me. This is by Laneza Sellers-Scott.
God, it's been so good.
Oh, good, good enough. Better than good to me.
God has had my back in the midst of my enemies, and I ain't even have to be there. I have grown many cities, free and not very many, for God to care of me and my children. I'm so connected to this air that I breathe, the ocean and the sea,
the mountains, the skies, and the trees.
I'm gonna get everything that belongs to me.
Good,
just
it's
been so
good.
Papa was a rolling stone from there.
There you have it. That was Better Than Good to Me by Lanaysa Sellers Scott. Very, very sweet song. Just speaks to my heart. Lord, excuse me for a second. You are listening to Diamonds in the Rough Talk to Me Radio. I am Cherie Humphrey, your host and the producer of this show. If you'd like to be on this show, please give inbox me or any of the things that I have mentioned during the show or that you might see on my website and you would like to be a part of it or purchase anything or, you know, book Running Into Light or, you know, Diamonds in the Rough curriculum for children, please, please reach out to me. If you would like to write a book, I would be a consultant. Fees would have to be discussed, time frames, et cetera, et cetera. So let me know what it is that you would like to do. Please inbox me or email me. Anyway, I want to get into Romans 10, 9 through 11. This is the New Living Translation. And I know in the Bible it says a wise person wins souls to Christ. And, you know, if you feel that you need a change, if you feel that you're tired of going through the same things, that you have nobody to run to because you ain't got nobody. Sometimes it's like that. There was a point in time in my life where I ain't had nobody to call on. Nobody understood nothing or even wanted to listen because they didn't know how to help me. But one person I did know how to call on, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it wasn't for that, I would never survive being kidnapped as a child, because I always loved the Lord. I was in church from the time I was born. I was in church all the time, sitting there, and I know that God had his hands on me from an early age, you know, being kidnapped, almost dying at 4 years old, beaten half to death by my mother's, one of her old boyfriends from way back in the day, you know, being taken out of the house on right on time, watching domestic violence on an almost regular basis every day when I wasn't living with my grandmother, you know, or my great-grandmother, watching drugs and alcoholism all around me constantly, nobody really succeeding, nobody really, you know, flourishing in anything that they did, their marriage or whatever. Even if they were married, which was seldom, people passing away left and right at a very early age, feeling lonely, feeling abandoned, feeling, you know, being abused, mistreated, hated on for no reason, just because of the way I looked, you know, and you know, people being jealous of you at 4 years old and not knowing the torture you were going through, being molested or raped. If you've ever gone through that, I've been through it too many times. If you ain't got no home, you know, I've lived in rooming houses, I've lived in my car, I've lived in driveways. I know what it's like. I know the feeling, the thoughts of suicide, not wanting to be here no more. I tried suicide 3 times when I was like 30 years old or 29 or something like that, but it never worked. And, you know, even as a person dealing with depression from the time I was 9 years old because of all the stuff I had been through, and I didn't know what to do with it, but I did know how to pray. I did give my life to Christ at 9, not really maybe having a deep, deep understanding of him, but I had a little bit of understanding, and I knew that there was one person that could free me from the abuse, from the hell that I was living in, giving me my emancipation. That was only Jesus. Keeping his hand on me when I started wilding out and acting out and just, you know, doing any and everything, you know what I'm saying? Because I had no guidance, no teaching, no parental guide that was healthy to bring me along, you know? So if you are going through any of that, you know, incarceration, you know, in seeing all this stuff being done, you know, if you are the one violent, you can change. I'm a living witness to so many things. So if you like to give your life to Christ, because everything, you're not going to be just healed, boom, just like that. There's going to take some time for things to happen, things to stop, you know, in your life, you know. And one thing I know, when you accept Christ, there's no condemnation, and therefore in Christ Jesus. And you talk to him about it. You ain't got to share it with all these different people in your life that don't know him, because they're not going to lead you in the right direction because they don't know themselves. So find some good people in your life. Find some, let that be your January 1st, you know, goal. Find some good people in your life that really genuinely care about you and want to see you doing your best. You know what I'm saying? And people who understand what it's like to give their life to Christ and understand what that means and can teach you and guide you along the way. You know, everybody in church is not right. I'm telling you that straight up. I done been through too much church hurt. But one thing I know is that I can always call on Jesus, and those people never had a place in hell or heaven to put me in. I know what it's like to have abuse of authority in my life, you know. And so I'm not going through that right now, thank God. But I know what it's like. I've been through that. And a painful and lonely place to be, because you don't know who to talk to because you don't trust nobody. And, you know, I'm not saying drop all your guard. Don't do that. But I am saying that there's something that you can do about it. You can get your power back. You can escape your situation and get in a better one. And if it means being by yourself, yo, I'd rather be by myself than getting my head bashed in every freaking night and having black eyes and my ribs stomped out, okay? And people, you know, somebody, you know, trying to manipulate me or take advantage of me or take all that I have, trying to take your spirit too. No, you got to put your foot down before the end of the year, period. So if that's you, then look, turn to Romans 10:9-11. I'm going to read this real quick, and this is all you got to do, boo. This is all you got to do. That's the first step, okay, above and beyond all of it. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring out your mouth your faith that you are saved, as the scripture tells us. Anyone who trusts him will never be disgraced. And so, you know, if you're dealing with any, you know, I've been through, you know, different drugs that I was dibbling and dabbling in, I thought I was big and bad enough to do. Thank God I never got addicted to cocaine. Thank God I never put a needle in my arm, because I hate needles anyway. You know, thank God I never did anything. Thank God I didn't succeed when I tried to kill myself 3 times. You know, thank God I didn't, because I would have never been talking to you all, period. I would have never seen a lot of things. I never would have accomplished anything, because I would have been dead, yo. So anyway, if that's how you feeling, just talk to the Lord about it. Find you a place that you can go where you can trust enough to walk through the door and get some teaching and some preaching in you. Faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. So you got to make that step. I can't do that for you. You know what I mean? No matter how hard it might be, something is happening. I get discouraged. I rarely feel lonely, but sometimes I do. I still have things that I'm dealing with. You know what I mean? But it's getting a little bit better. I love myself now. If you walk by the mirror and hate yourself, you just got to have somebody in your life to encourage you, be around. You got to be in the talk and say, I'm beautiful. I'm blessed and highly favored. I am a child of God. You know, I'm above and not beneath. You know, you got to speak these things out of your own mouth, and it ain't always easy. But God hears your heart if you can just trust enough to let go to him. I ain't talking about church, folks. I ain't talking about no building, okay? So I'm going to stop right there. God bless you. I hope that it works out for you if it's something that you have done as a result of being on this show or period, listening to the show rather, you know, or period. So I may not get to read all of these names, but I'm going to try to. This is not everyone that's been on my show, but it is a lot of people that have graced this show or I've interviewed in media. Yo-Yo, the rapper from back in the day, Donnell Jones, Special Ed, Melba Moore, CeCe Peniston, J.J. Harrison, Christopher Williams, Bernard Jackson of Surface, Doobie Powell, Curtis Blow, Stacey Ladislaw Jackson, Glenn Jones, D. Lucas, The Green Violinist, Tony Redd, Darren Cookie Moore, Calvin Richardson, Wendell B., J.D. Lawrence, Marcel Lashley Davies, Richmond Punch, Carmichael the Music Lover, Isaac Zellner, Cool Mike Ski, Wasan Jackson, Craig Kelly, A Plus Hollywood, Tony Bird, King Mafioso. Let me just say, Tony Bird and King Mafioso, so far out of this entire year, their ratings for their particular show keeps rising. That is the most listened to show of this year. So we got some more shows, so you got to promote yourself, too, if you're coming on this show. I'm not going to be the only one because I'm doing this out of the kindness of my heart. I'm not getting paid. So, you know, if that's something that you want to do, you know, you got to share. Jonathan Du Bois, Jr., Sr., Ane Du Bois, Kim Mathis, Elder Jeanette Green, Washington, Pastor Joseph Green, Avis Daniels, Andrea Daniels, Charles, Sebastian Tribby, LaVon Briggs, Jonathan Gates, Mika Jean, Hope Flood, Howie Bell, J.P. Justice, Drew Frazier, Capone, J. Alexander, Gerald Kelly, FSW, Pastor Brown, Janice Dempsey, A. Curtis Fowle, Riff, Evie Taylor, Keisha Rainey, Judah Seeley, Darren Cookie Moore, Rashawn Langley, Kiki West, Tiffany Tavelle, Omar Wilson, Phoenix Fire, Jay the Comedian, Misconduct, Ricky Allen Jordan, J. Trini Gorin, Coffee Gorin, Deborah Williams of Her Game 2, Don Nottingham of The Stylistics, Midnight, Sonia Hudson Payne, Trina Seymour Bowers, Lauren G., Sheila McCoy, author M.L. Brooks, Odelia, Pastor Felicia Cunningham, Marcia Sapp of New York, Carissa Dow, Roos, Lou Humphrey of BSC Recordings, John Hinton, Bernadette Barnes, Kent Barrett of WNHU, Prophet Ramai Jubilani, Jerry Green of WYBC, Rasheem Dixon of WYBC, Ashley Mondestin, Steve Wallace, Pierre Guten, Sierra Clark, Lyle Hassan Jones, Pastor Arlene Henry, Songbird, Day Farrell, Travis Sims, Jason V. Watts, Maris Goldstone, Dwight Lamar of New York, Herb Boyd Jr., Prophetess Brenda Culpepper, Damon Cook, Tyrone Dunmore, a.k.a. Terrible T, Candace Rena, Bobby Ramos, John Lawson, Matthew Kirkwood, Big T, Kia Swintz, Lachey Nicole, Tamar Jerome Pierre, Greg Hill of the Delphonics, Robbie Jenkins, Marilyn Moore, Naja McKenzie, Najia Treat, Gloria Cummings, Darlene McGee, Pastor Gene Smith, Dr. Green, Rodney Bethea, Lynn Mosher, Darlene Addison, Chandra Shabazz, Carolyn Smith, Kayla, Mr. Council, Nene Ali, Frankie Brady, Elder Savon DeGaskew, Pamela Wright, Spencer Camp, Kaylin Jackman of New York, Amari Daniel Bay, Jennifer Armistead, Robert Williams of Blue Magic, Jazzy Matt, Dr. Jamal Bryant, Jamaica Morrison, Ernest Richards, Bishop Ernest Richards, Michael Jones, Denzel Williams. Happy birthday, Michael Jones. Mr. Jones, I love that man. He always let my kids come on for an interview, always. Those who won my talent show or anytime I was promoting anything, he let me come on his show before he moved. Gina Blaze, Connie Johnson, Lamar Taylor, James Fountain, Lisa Mellers, Jeanette Sachs, David Davis, Anthony E. Brown, Ernell Grant, Brian DeCarzi, Doremius Williams, Matt Jones, Sheena Bailey, Cool Bubba Ice, Humphrey Bogart, Marlon Randolph, Johnny Lemon, Karina Ford, Tishy Anderson, Renee Love, Treasure Marie, Steve Wallace, Ebony with an X, Cece Lee, Kaylee Roselle, Top Notch Dan, Norman Tappan, Monique Smith, Vicky Winans, Pastor Shirley Caesar, Donnie McClurkin, Mighty Clouds of Joy, Jennifer Holiday, Damian Marley, Little John, Sierra, Little Bo, Elephant Man, Terry Cruz, Mary Mary, Bobby Valentino, Deidre Cadden, Nigel Dr. Jill Dunkley, Janet Dawson, Velasquez Singers, Walter Armistead, Ashley Welfare, Walter Taylor, Janice Murray, Lawrence Green of New Jersey, Sammy Maximum, John the Apprentice, and many, many more. If I didn't say your name, inbox me and say, hey, you forgot me, and I'll add you to the list. Because I did not keep records of who came on my show. These are just people that I knew definitely were a part of Talk to Me Media and radio. All right. Thank you so much. God bless. And until next time, our show will be on the 21st of November. We have two men that are coming up, and they are special and just special in their own right. So please, please tune back in. God bless you. Have a good night. I'm going to take us out with a little bit of, let's see here, Proud of Me. I'm proud of you that you're going to complete what you started, and I'm proud of me that I am going to complete what I want to complete by the end of this year.
Myself, I mean the very